160. From Naphtali to Giscarla. Meeting with Rabbi Gamaliel. May the 10th, 1945.
Master, Master, do you know who is ahead of us? There is Rabbi Gamaliel. He is sitting with his servants in a caravan in the shade in a wood, sheltered from the winds. They are roasting a lamb. What are we going to do now?
What are we going to do, my friends? We will proceed along our way.
But Gamaliel is of the temple.
Gamaliel is not wicked. Do not be afraid. I will go ahead.
Oh, we are coming also,
say his cousins at the same time, as well as all the Galileans and Simon. Only the Iscariot, and to a lesser degree, Thomas, do not seem very anxious to proceed. But they follow the others. They walk for a few yards along a mountainous road, deep set between the wooded slopes of the mountain. The road then bends and opens onto a kind of tableland and crosses it, widening out, and soon after, that it becomes once again narrow, and winding under a roof of interwoven branches. In a sunny bare patch, which is however shaded by the first leaves of the wood, there are many people under a rich tent, while other people are busy in a corner turning the lamb on the fire. There is no doubt about it. Gamaliel took very good care of himself. For one person traveling, he set a crowd of servants in motion with I do not know how much luggage. He is now sitting in the center of his tent, a cloth supported by four goat poles, a kind of canopy, under which there are low seats covered with cushions, and a table top of which rests on carved wooden legs. A very fine tablecloth is spread on the table, and the servants are laying valuable dishes on it. Gamaliel looks like an idol. With his hands open on his knees, stiff and stately, he looks like a statue to me. The servants move around him like large butterflies, but he pays no attention to them. He is pondering, his eyelashes rather lowered on his severe eyes, and when he raises them, his deep, very dark pensive eyes are displayed in all their severe beauty at the sides of a long thin nose, and under the high, rather bald forehead of an elderly man. His forehead is marked by three parallel wrinkles, and by a large bluish vein which forms a V-shaped angle in the center of his right temple. The noise of the oncoming people causes the servants to turn around. Gamaliel also looks around. He sees Jesus approaching ahead of everyone, and he makes a gesture of surprise. He stands up and moves to the edge of the tent, but no farther. From there he bows low with his arms crossed on his chest. Jesus replies to him in the same way.
You are here, Rabbi?
Asks Gamaliel.
I am here, Rabbi,
replies Jesus.
May I ask where you are going?
It is a pleasure for me to tell you. I am coming from Naphtali, and I am going to Giscala.
On foot? But it is a hard and long road along these mountains. You are tiring yourself too much.
Believe me. If I am welcomed and listened to, all tiredness disappears.
Well then, allow me to be for once the one who will remove your fatigue. The lamb is ready. We would have left the leavings to the birds, because I never take them with me. You can see that it is no trouble for me to offer food to you and to your followers. I am friendly to you, Jesus. I do not consider you inferior to me, but greater than I am.
I believe you, and I accept your hospitality.
Gamaliel speaks to a servant who appears to be the highest in authority, and who passes on the order. The tent is extended, and more seats and dishes for Jesus's disciples are taken off the many mules. They bring bowls to purify their hands. Jesus performs the rite with the greatest courteousness, whereas the apostles, on whom Gamaliel is casting sharp sidelong glances, do so as well as they can, with the exception of Simon, Judas of Garoth, Bartholomew and Matthew, who are more accustomed to Jewish refinements. Jesus is beside Gamaliel, who is alone on one side of the table. The zealot is in front of Jesus. After the prayer of thanksgiving, which Gamaliel says with calm solemnity, the servants carve the lamb, and divide it among the guests, and they fill the cups with wine or water sweetened with honey, for those who prefer it.
We have met, by chance, Rabbi, I was never expecting to see you on the way to Giscala.
I am going towards the whole world.
Yes, you are the untiring prophet. John is the stationary one. You are the roaming one.
It is easier, therefore, for souls to find me.
I would not say so. Your continuous moving about disorientates them.
I disorientate my enemies. But those who want me, because they love the word of God, find me. Not everybody can come to the Master. And the Master, who wants everybody, goes to everybody, helping thus the good and warding off the conspiracies of those who hate me.
Are you referring to me? I do not hate you.
Not to you. But since you are just and straightforward, you can say that I am speaking the truth.
Yes, it is so. But see, the fact is that we older people do not understand you well.
Yes, old Israel does not understand me well. That is her misfortune, and because of her will.
No, no.
Yes, Rabbi. They are not willing to understand the Master. And who confines himself to that, does evil, but a comparative evil. Many instead, deliberately misunderstand and distort my word to harm God.
God? He is above human snares.
Yes, but every soul that goes astray, or is led astray, and it is misleading to distort my word or my work, both with regard to oneself and to other people, harms God, in the soul which is lost. Every soul that is lost is a wound to God.
Gamaliel lowers his head, and closing his eyes, he meditates. He then presses his forehead between his long thin fingers, in an involuntary gesture of pain. Jesus watches him. Gamaliel raises his head, opens his eyes, looks at Jesus and says,
But you know that I am not one of those.
I know. But you are one of the former.
Oh, it is true. But it is not true that I am not willing to understand you. The truth is that your word stops on my mind and does not penetrate further. My mind admires it as the word of a learned man and spirit.
And the spirit cannot receive it, Gamaliel, because it is encumbered with too many things. And ruined things. A short while ago, coming here from Naphtali, I passed Nera Mountain, which juts out from Ajain. I was pleased to pass there to see the two beautiful lakes of Genesaret and Merim, from high above, as eagles and the angels of the Lord see them, to say once again, thank you Creator, for the beauty you grant us. Well, whilst the whole mountain is covered with flowers, green meadows, orchards, fields, and woods, and the laurels smell sweet near the olive trees, preparing the white host of thousands and thousands of flowers. And also the strong oak tree seems to become gentler, as it dresses itself with wreaths of clematis and woodbine. Over there is no flowering, no fertility, neither of man, nor of nature. All the efforts of the winds, all the toil of men are frustrated, because the Cyclopean ruins of ancient Hasar encumber everything. And between one large stone and another, only nettles and brushes can grow, and snakes can hide. Gamaliel.
I understand we are ruins also. I understand the parable Jesus. But I cannot do otherwise. The stones are too heavy.
One in whom you believed said to you, the stones shall vibrate hearing my last words. But why wait for the last words of the Messiah? Will you not regret that you did not follow me before? The last. Sad words, like those of a friend who is dying, and whom we had to listen, but too late. But my words are more important than the words of a friend.
You are right, but I cannot. I am waiting for that sign that I may believe.
When a piece of ground is barren, a thunderbolt is not sufficient to till it. The soil will not receive it. But the stones that cover the soil will receive it. Endeavor at least to remove them, Gamaliel. Otherwise, if they are left where they are, in the depth of your heart, the sign will not lead you to believe.
Gamaliel is silent, engrossed in thought. The meal is over. Jesus stands up and says,
I thank you, my God, both for the meal and for the opportunity of speaking to a wise man. And thank you, Gamaliel.
Master, do not go away like that. I am afraid you are angry with me.
Oh, no, you must believe me.
Then, do not go away. I am going to Hillel's tomb. Would you disdain coming with me? It will not take us long, because I have mules and donkeys for everybody. All we have to do is take off their pack saddles, which the servants will carry. And the hardest part of the road will be shortened for you.
I do not mind coming with you, or going to Hillel's tomb. It is an honor. Let us go.
Gamaliel gives the necessary instructions. And while they are all busy taking down the temporary dining room, Jesus and Gamaliel mount two mules and they go ahead, one beside the other, along a quite steep road, on which the iron shod hooves resound loudly. Gamaliel is silent. Only twice he asks Jesus whether his saddle is comfortable. Jesus replies, and then becomes quiet, engrossed in thought. So much so, that he does not notice that Gamaliel, holding his mule back a little, lets him go forward by a full neck, so that he may study every gesture of his. The eyes of the old rabbi are so keen in penetration, that they look like the eyes of a hawk gazing at its prey. But Jesus is not aware of it. He proceeds calmly, following the undulant base of his mount. He is pensive, and yet he observes all the features of what is around him. He stretches out a hand to pick a hanging bunch of golden cytisus. He smiles at two little birds which are building their nest in a thick juniper. He stops the mule to listen to a black cat, and, as blessing, he nods assent to the anxious cry, by which a wild dove urges her mate to work.
You love birds and animals very much, do you not?
Yes, very much. They are my living book. Man always has the foundations of faith in front of him. Genesis lives in nature. Now, one who knows how to see, knows also how to believe. This flower, so sweet in its scent, and in the substance of its pendulous corollas, and in such a contrast with this thorny juniper, and with that furze, how could it have made itself by itself? And look, that robin redbreast, could it have made itself with that dried bloodstain on its soft throat? And those doves, where, and how have they been able to paint those onyx collars on the veils of their gray feathers? And over there, those two butterflies. A black one with large gold Andrew bearings, while the other, with blue stripes, where have they found the gems and ribbons for their wings? And the stream? It is water. Agreed. But where did it come from? Which is the first source of the water element? Oh. To look means to believe. If one knows how to look.
To look means to believe. We look too little at the living Genesis that is in front of us.
Too much science, Gamaliel. And too little love, and too little humility.
Gamaliel sighs and shakes his head.
Here. We have arrived, Jesus. Hill is buried over there. Let us dismount and leave our mules here. A servant will take them.
They dismount, tying the two mules to a tree trunk, and they turn their steps towards a burial ground, which protrudes from the mountain near a large house, completely closed up.
I come here to meditate and prepare myself for the Feast of Israel,
says Gamaliel, pointing at the house.
May wisdom grant you all its light.
And here.
And Gamaliel points at the tomb.
To prepare myself to meet death. He was a just man.
He was a just man. I will be pleased to pray near his ashes. But, Gamaliel, Hillel must not teach you only to die. He must teach you to live.
How, Master?
A man is great when he humbles himself, was his favorite saying.
How do you know if you have not met him?
I did meet him. In any case, even if I had never met Hillel, the rabbi personally, I know his thought, because there is nothing I ignore of human thoughts.
Gamaliel lowers his head, and whispers,
God only can say that.
God and his word. Because the word knows the thought and the thought knows the word, and loves him, communicating with him, and granting him all his treasures, to make him participate in himself. Love fastens the bonds and makes one perfection of them. It is the Trinity that loves itself, is divinely formed, generates, proceeds, and is completed. Every holy thought was born in the perfect mind, and is reflected in the mind of the just man. Can the word therefore ignore the thoughts of the just, since they are the thoughts of the thought?
They pray near the closed tomb. They pray for a long time. The disciples, and then the servants reach them, the former on horseback, the latter carrying luggage. But they stop at the edge of the meadow, beyond which is the tomb. The prayer is over.
Goodbye, Gamaliel. Ascend as Hillel did.
What do you mean?
Ascend. He is ahead of you, because he knew how to believe more humbly than you. Peace be with you.
It all ends thus.